Welcome to today's podcast. This is the first in the series titled Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who haven't come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. Here's Pastor Jim with this week's message, How to Be Right with God.
My daughter told me a story this past week I thought was kind of funny. I don't know about you, if you've ever bartered with God, you ever made a deal with God. I tell you what, God, if you'll do this for me, then I promise to do that. He tends to keep his bargains. We don't necessarily do it. That's not, I would suggest, advisable. But there was this guy who was running late for a meeting. He's looking for a parking spot and cannot find it. And so he finally strikes up a bargain with God. He says, listen, God, he says, I know I haven't been to church lately, he says, and I know I've been doing a lot of gambling. He says, well, I promise you, if you'll get me a parking spot, he says, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to take that money, and I'm going to give it to the missions fund. And almost miraculously, there on the spot, the clouds part, and the sun shines through, and it highlights an empty spot in the parking lot. And the guy says, never mind, God, I found one myself. You know what? God is calling you and I to trust him this morning, to look to him. No bargaining, no promises. He's the one that makes and keeps promises. And we acknowledge our need for him in every area and aspect of our lives. Picked up from a couple of weeks ago, we picked up in the book of Romans, this interlude. If you're with me this morning, grab your Bible. You've got the outline in your bulletin as well, inside the cover of the bulletin. Romans chapter 10. And I suggested that 9, 10, and 11 are a kind of an interlude, a parenthesis in the book of Romans, where Paul asks and answers the question, what about Israel? What about the nation of Israel, God's people? Do they cease to be his people, and does the church now supplant them? And it's here that Paul answers by saying, not necessarily, in fact, we saw last week that he set them aside on purpose for the sake of the non-Jews, but he has a plan and a purpose that we'll see specifically next week. Today, let's pick up in chapter 10 and verse 1 where we left off last time, beginning there, Paul's writing to the Romans, 10:1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, on truth. You and I know plenty of people who are quite sincere, aren't they? But they're sincerely wrong in terms of what they believe, and sincerity does not save. Zeal does not save. There's only one Savior. It's Jesus Christ to those who will trust him. Their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And the zinger really is verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. We were in the law last week, weren't we? And when it does its duty in someone's life, it leads them helpless, hopeless, in need of a Savior. Christ is the end of the law. The law should lead you ultimately to Jesus Christ so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes, for all believers. Boy, that's been the theme, Romans 1 and following. We've seen that. The righteous will live by faith. Righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is true for Jews and Gentiles alike, the world over. Verse 5, now we pick up with Moses. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. It's performance-oriented, isn't it? You've got to live up to the standards. In this case, God's standards, his laws. But in contrast, verse 6, the righteousness that is by faith, notice next word in the scripture, what is it? Says. Hey man, faith speaks. I want you to know that this morning out loud. If you're a believer, your life will speak God, and others will see it. Proof positive, he's at work. Faith speaks. It says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down, parentheses there. Paul inserting a little explanation from Deuteronomy 30 there, that phrase that he's quoting. Or who will descend into the deep, back to Deuteronomy 30, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. If you go back to that passage, the second law is given to Israel as they're preparing to enter the promised land. It's the new generation. Now, the previous has died in the desert over a 40-year process. Moses himself is not to enter. But he's restating to this new generation God's expectations, the rules and regulations, the constitution of Israel as they enter the promised land. And he claims there that his laws are not way out there or way over here under, they're right in front of you, Deuteronomy 30. And I like how the Bible does it. It takes in the New Testament oftentimes and interprets what comes prior in the Old. And so Paul spiritualizes this with Christ. What does it say? What does faith say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. And what is that word of faith? Here it is, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, what? What's the confession? Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, how many of you believe in the resurrection, which includes his vicarious death, his suffering, death, and resurrection? Why? For the forgiveness of sins and sinners. You believe that in your heart? And can you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Hebrew Adonai, Master, God, he says, then you'll be safe. Therein lies salvation. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. By confession of faith. Verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same rule, regulation applies to everyone. This is God's plan, the righteousness that is by faith, as he's explained it earlier in Romans. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Boy, there's two absolutes there in verse 11. Anyone who trusts in him. Verse 13, everyone who calls on him. I love that about the Bible. It's one of the most controversial things about Jesus Christ. It's why so many people have a problem with him. He acts like he's a know-it-all, like he knows everything. He speaks in absolute terms. And you know what? We don't like people like that because life isn't that black and white, is it? Who does he think he is anyway? God? You got it. It's Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Next line, absolute. No one, not anyone, comes to the Father but through me, whether you like it or not. It was Jesus who said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to all authority. He's the maximum authority. That's what he said. In his own words, absolutely. Whosoever believeth in me, whosoever. I mean, I know some people that I don't think Jesus said, if they'll just trust me, they won't perish. They'll have everlasting life. There's no other name given among men, Peter says, whereby we must be saved. Which name would that be? It's a name above every name, Paul writes, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that to the glory of the Father. What a man, much more than a man. What a Savior. Absolutely, absolutes all the way. And since this is true, Paul continues, we got to get the word out. We got to get busy. What are we doing sitting around here? We've got work to do, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they've not believed? Can they call on somebody they don't even know exists? No. And how can they believe in one that they've not heard? Is it possible they haven't heard of him to believe in him? No. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Boy, he's bringing the onus of responsibility from the hearer to the preacher, isn't he? And how can they preach unless they're sent? They can't. Reverse the equation there. Notice the progression at this point. It starts with being sent, speaking, people hearing, believing, and confessing. You see that progression here in reverse? What is needed in the world today is preachers. It's someone just like you and just like me who's willing to speak up on behalf of the truth that we've heard and believed in, the Savior Jesus Christ. How many think that people need to hear that message? Undoubtedly. How many think that people are ready to receive the message? Boy, there's a different story in there. Just was up Marquette here this past year, Campus Crusade reunion there or conference. One of my old friends who runs the Michigan Tech University, their ministry there, statistically, doing studies there on campus, he figured out that about 10% of the students at Michigan Technological University will receive Christ, the gospel, when it's presented clearly. Now, that's a small percent. That surprised me. That seems small to me. 1 out of 10 is all? They're a little more intellectual there than they were at Northern Michigan. That's why I went to Northern. I did not have the brains of the greats, but we had a lot more fun than they did up at Michigan Tech, I'll tell you that. Is that true in Branch County? 1 out of 10? Used to be 1 out of 4, as I recall, about 25%. I think it's getting harder for people to listen, to believe, and to call on a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The need is always there. It's still the same. Your job and my job is to speak up and to pay attention where ripe fruit appears. Somebody is open or interested. That 1 out of 10, or somewhere in that percentage. Where God opens a door and there's a divine appointment, capitalize. Give that person the understanding they need to hear, to believe, and to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You may be surprised that some of the people you would least expect could be some of the most responsive. Doug, you may recall Fabio Dorado, Salta, University of Salta up in northern Argentina. He was one of the least likelies. I remember when I met him as a freshman. Very unruly. That's a nice way to say the guy's life was a disaster. Coming in from the outback to study there at the university in Salta. And you know what? It was really neat to see God work and transform this kid's life over the years that I was there. I got an email from the mayor of Oran, Salta, Argentina. It doesn't mean anything to you, but the town of Oran in the province of Salta in Argentina, I got an email a couple years ago from the mayor. It was Fabio Dorado, of all people. I would have never guessed. In fact, I was surprised he even graduated from high school, and he did. Worked as an accountant for years. He was a co-pastor of a church there in Oran. Ended up becoming the mayor. Wouldn't be surprised if the guy is shooting for presidency of the country. How do you explain the transformation? Somebody shared a message with him. He heard the message. In his heart, he believed it. With his mouth, he confessed it. And God put in motion the operation of his spirit, the transformation of a life 30 plus years ago. The explanation is it's the work of God. It's that seed, Jesus said, that unexplainably grows when it's planted. The problem is there aren't enough people planting seeds. Harvest is plentiful, workers are few. And herein lies our responsibility, you and I, as we look here into God's word in Romans chapter 10. Verse 14, let me read it again. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, we don't like the word preaching because we don't like preachers. Nobody wants to be preached at, right? Just means announcing. That's all it means. Speaking. And every one of us in context can do exactly that. You can share from your personal experience who Jesus is, why you believe in him, and the difference he's made in your life. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Take a look at the feet in your row there this morning. Got some good-looking feet, do they? No comment on the smell, but just look at them. Because the Bible says, you know, the most beautiful feet, those are the ones that carry good news. Now, the context, you'd have to go way back. This is prior to 150 years ago, 3,500 years ago, in the process when the psalm was written. The king would wait in the palace for news of the battle. Remember the story of David? He's up on the palace roof, and he sees across the plains a runner. It's the mailman. He's come to deliver a message from how goes the battle. If the message is good, boy, we're winning, or we just finished him off, or it's all over and it's conquered, celebration would occur. And that guy would be honored for his beautiful feet. Thank you for bringing the message. How beautiful are the feet on the mountains of those who bring, what kind of news? Bad news? It's the best news that you and I could possibly ever deliver. It's the best thing that's ever hit this universe. Salvation has come. There is a Savior. And if you'll trust him, he'll save you. That's our marching orders this morning. Paul, in context, is speaking to the Jewish nation. The messengers came and they rejected the message. Jesus Christ himself, fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy. And yet as a nation, they officially rejected him. Though we'll see in chapter 11, some did accept the Savior. But it says faith comes from hearing that message, and the message is heard through the words of Jesus Christ. Now that's true, and it was true in those days for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's also true for us today. And I want to suggest to you that somebody you know would respond to the message if they were to hear it clearly from your lips, if they could see it clearly in your life. I like the two T's. It kind of helps me to filter out who might be somebody who's needing salvation, who's open and ready. People who are in tension and people who are in transition. Transition, somebody moves into the neighborhood, there's an opportunity to reach out. Don't hesitate. Invite that person to church. Maybe start out with a pie or coffee or a chance to meet them. Transition, newlyweds, death of a spouse, divorce, the birth of a child. Those are opportunities where the message seems to germinate more easily in somebody's heart. Tension, boy, I think the number one is crisis. It's any major crisis. Usually it's health-related, in my experience. Captive audience, deathbed scene at the hospital. And that person has cut to the quick. All the trivial, superficial things of life fade before eternity. In tension, that person has an opportunity to reassess. Tell me again what it means to believe in Christ before I meet him personally. Wow, what an opportunity for you and I. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message, such as the word of Christ, verse 17. I want to ask you, if you're struggling with your faith this morning, have you listened to the message? Do you need to listen to it again? Do you need to hear it? Or I would suggest read it again. That spiritual discipline guide is where you need to go. If you find yourself wavering, if you're dry and weak in your faith, doubtful, friend, there's a spring of living water. You can drink up. I find that I dry up when I'm not immersed in the truth of God and his word. Easy explanation for why we get dry. And what you and I need to do from time to time, even as believers, is to go back and remind ourselves what God has said, who God is, what he's promised, Jesus Christ, his word. Immerse yourself, and you're going to find he's going to nurture faith, because faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of God, the message of Christ. In terms of application this morning as we finish, when I ask you, have you been sent out yet? Has anybody remembered to send you? I know we've done this from time to time as a church. I think the kingdom assignment is an outstanding opportunity for us as a congregation to send out people. We've got 70 people the last couple of weeks who've signed on and said, I want to be part of the kingdom assignment. 70 adults. That's excellent, in my opinion. If you signed up prior at the door today, Amy, Jen, where are you? You guys are going to be there. They should have an envelope with your name on it. In that envelope will be instructions for the kingdom assignment. We're sending you out as a congregation to fulfill what Paul said, the exact repetition of what needs to occur in order for others to believe. The agreement that you've made in signing on is the money that you will receive from the church is God's money. Your assignment is to extend his kingdom with it. Number two, you're to pray for wisdom and discernment. There's an explanation for how that could happen in the assignment. Number three, look to build relationships, reach out, make a friend, establish a bridge to Christ. And then finally, number four, on May 5th, Sunday, May 5th, we'll have a celebration service, and we'll get back together and report in as far as what happened, what God did through our kingdom assignment. So grab your envelope on the way out. Now listen, if you missed church last week or the week before, you came on the right Sunday. We don't normally give money out at the church. This is an exception. And you'd like to be a part of this, and you're willing to sign on in agreement. There's still a sign-up sheet out there. If you'll sign on, I'll get you what you'll need. And we as a church will follow suit with what the Apostle Paul has assigned us to do. We're being sent out to represent him as missionaries in our community. Number two, does your faith speak? My question is, what is it saying? What do people who are watching you, who know you, who work with you, who live with you, hearing about faith, your faith in Christ specifically? And then finally, number three, have you ever spoken to someone about your faith? That is what you believe and why you believe it, how you came to believe that, and how they too could have faith in God. Boy, I think Dave's class is an excellent opportunity. We'll meet next door here in about 20 minutes. If you're a new attender and want to join me next door in the quiet room, that'd be outstanding. But I want to highlight what Dave is trying to do. He's trying to fine-tune, really, in this area, our representatives of him as representatives of Christ. You might want to pick up with that class. I'd like to close with prayer this morning, and I'd like to commission ourselves. And let's ask God to fulfill his word now in our generation through us and continue on with what he's done throughout the centuries, all the way back to the days of Paul, in our community and through our lives. For how can they call on one they've not believed in? And how can they believe unless they've heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent out? Where you're seated this morning, I want to invite you to bow your head, just you and the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to check you in your spirit, in your heart, as to how you're doing as his representative. If you recognize that you haven't done a good job as of late in representing him, just acknowledge that to him. He's ready to forgive and cleanse from all sin, he said. If you'll confess it, if you'll admit it. But if you're willing, and if by God's grace we as a congregation are abled or enabled by him, there are people who need to hear and believe and confess that will never do so unless someone is sent and speaks on God's behalf. That's you and that's me, starting from here today. If you're up for the challenge, boy, in your own heart, in your own words, just tell him to count you in. Count me in, Lord. No promises. I'm not bartering here. I'm not going to promise you anything. You're the one that makes and keeps promises. I'm dependent on you. But invite the Holy Spirit just to energize you as you leave this place. We've got work to do. Everywhere around us, and everyone you know and I know ultimately needs God above all. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the explanation it gives as to why Israel, having heard the message, rejected it. We'll find out next time that that's not the last word. You have work yet to do in that nation. Meantime, we, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, have been given the opportunity and the advantage of being joined with you as part of your family. And God, forgive us for taking that for granted. How could we not gladly step up and represent you in our generation? So I pray for myself and I pray for this church. And I pray for this incentive, the kingdom assignment, that this would do something personal and powerful, maybe even permanent in our hearts. As the church literally employs us as missionaries to reach out into our community. Prompt us, Holy Spirit, to the needs and opportunities around us. As we pray that you would demonstrate your presence and your faithfulness in and through us in the way that you want us to work on your behalf. Whatever that could be, we trust you for the results. And we thank you this morning for all that you have done already for us and even those things that you have yet to do. Standing on the shoulders of men of old, some 150 years ago to this day, we continue in their train. And we do that for the sake of the name, as John said it, the name above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the first in the series, Designed for Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.